This morning we're going to deal with what God has authorized as worship. And this is very important because he rejected much of what the Israelites offered as worship because they were not listening to his will and giving their hearts unto him. And in Colossians 3 and verse 17, we find the scripture saying, "And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Whatever we do as individuals, we're going to do those things in the name of the Lord Jesus or by his authority. And I'm going to list the things that the New Testament talks about as being acceptable unto God in our worship. If you know of others, then those things that I set forth in this lesson this morning, then I want you to call my attention to that and show me the scripture where it tells about those things. Now, the main reason that we've come together this morning is to remember the Lord's death and suffering until he comes again. The New Testament and early church history record that Christians met on the first day of every week, which is Sunday, and some have said, "Well, this is my Sabbath, you know. This is Saturday," in other words. But the first day of the week in the New Testament is never called the Sabbath. And Paul says in Acts 20 and verse 7, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight." Now, I imagine if I continued my speech until the midnight, somebody pushed the button. I'd be gone. I'd fall through the floor, you see. Because we don't want our preachers preaching any more than 15 or 20 minutes. But Paul preached and he continued his speech until midnight. First Corinthians 11, verses 23 and 24, Paul said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" And then in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." So they met together on the first day of the week to partake of the Lord's Supper. And the Lord indicated that if we fail to remember him in partaking of the Lord's Supper, then that was not going to be effective for us. We had to remember that he died upon the cross, that he shed his blood, that we might have remission of sins, and that we might become a part of that great fellowship, which is called the church, that you and I gather in and that we participate in each week. The second thing that the Lord set forth that we were to do in worship to Him was to pray about those things that has to do with our lives. In Acts 2 and verse 42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers." They continued steadfastly in this when they came together to offer their worship unto God. Then in Philippians 2, verse 6 and verse 7, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Be of a prayerful attitude. Pray to God about those things that affect us in our life. And Paul continued in 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 and 18, "Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." We're always to be of a prayerful attitude. God expects us to pray together when we come together to worship Him. So we see that the Lord has authorized our partaking of the Lord's Supper and us offering prayers unto God. The third thing that we note is the Lord accepts us singing praises unto Him. God's Word authorized only vocal music and specifically singing in acceptable worship unto Him. We find in Ephesians 5 and verse 19, the scripture saying, "Speaking to yourselves." Now, when we sing praises unto God, we're encouraging worship of God and in His name. And so it said, "Singing to yourselves," or "speaking to yourselves," in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. In Colossians 3 and verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Then in Hebrews 2 and verse 12, saying, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto God," or unto thee. So we can see, as we look at these scriptures, that the New Testament shows no use of mechanical instruments of music in worship to God by the church that Christ established. Church history notes that no such use for nearly 700 years was exercised within the New Testament, or after the New Testament was finished. It's an innovation of men and not of God. We want to remember that. Acceptable worship includes partaking of the Lord's Supper, praying unto God, and singing praises. The writer of Hebrews said he would sing praises in the midst of the church. Then we come to that subject that we kind of reluctant to talk about sometimes, and that's giving. With a free will. Cheerful. Generous. And every week. Because every week has a first day, doesn't it? And so we find, as the scripture talks about this in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2, it sets forth the time that we're to give. And he says, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings or collections when I come. Giving of our own free will. Cheerful. Generous. And every week, as the Lord has prospered us. And then the last of those things that are set forth in the Word of God in regard to our worship of Him is the preaching of the Word. Now that's talking about the gospel of Christ, and not men's doctrine, nor is it a thing of entertainment. The preacher's not in the pulpit to entertain you. The sole purpose of the evangelist in the pulpit is to teach the gospel of Christ. This gospel is something that strengthens us. It's a demonstration of the power of God. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 1 and verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to all those that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So how did the early church, the first century church, feel about the preaching of the gospel? Well, in Acts 2 and verse 42, the scripture says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. They continued steadfastly in this. In Acts 20 and verse 7, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Romans 10 and verse 17, talking about people getting faith, said, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Unless it's preached, people are not going to grow in faith or have that faith that would save them. In 1 Corinthians 1, verses 18 through 23, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. If they don't want to accept the preaching of the cross, it's foolishness to them. They're not going to obey those things that are set forth in God's Word. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Then he asks some questions. Where is the wise? And where is the scribe? And where is the disputer of this world? Now listen. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, how did those that were preached to in the first century receive that word? It said, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. I was looking this morning in regard to the gospel and the rejection of the doctrine of Christ. And it's sad that in our time, many would refuse to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, nor to accept his blood that was shed upon the cross of Calvary to take away their sins and to make them clean. These things that I've enumerated this morning are the things that God has authorized for us to use in worship. The Lord's Supper, prayers unto God, singing to teach one another and to praise God, giving free will and from the heart, and the preaching of the Word of God. We know that God accepts all of those things. These are the things that he's authorized by his divine word. What was it that we said in that verse that we started out with in Colossians 3 and 17? And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus, or after the example of Jesus, or after the example of the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And if we practice those things in worship that they practiced, in the first century we can be assured that God accepts our worship. God bless you to accept these things that are set forth. If you don't have salvation, we hope that you'll seek to lay hold on that even this morning by obeying the gospel. If you've obeyed the gospel and strayed away back into sin, when you stand before the judge on the day of judgment, you'll be unprepared to meet his judgment. If you have a need, this morning. The Scripture says if you're a sinner that's not obeyed the Lord, that you need to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, Acts 2 and verse 38. Or you, as a child of God, if you drifted away, John 1 and verse 9 indicates that if you repent and ask God's forgiveness, that He's faithful and just and will forgive you of your sins, and you can be restored to that close relationship with God. Don't go away separated from God this morning. Any way you need to respond, respond now as we stand together and sing.